Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm ready to play today. Look at me. I can be
center field. Okay, so I have tried not to be excited. I've tried. I've done my absolute best. I've told Dave that I've tried to keep a lid on the anticipation, but it's out there. I can't, there's nothing I can do about it now. This time tomorrow, baseball games to talk about. I cannot put a lid on my enthusiasm anymore. So if it annoys you, I'm just warning you now. This is me, and this is authentic, and it's genuine, and I am really excited. Even though many of you are still not where I am, I'm ready to drag you along with me. What song appropriately describes how you feel about sports right now? Whether it's baseball, basketball, who hit the court for the first time with scrimmages on Wednesday. Whatever the song is, whatever your emotions are, I'd like to hear from you. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also part of my singing. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. I've got a couple songs that I think are appropriate for sports at this particular time. So we're going to keep dropping them in. And Dave is, he's playing DJ tonight as well as manning the controls on the other side of the double paned glass. The Mookie Betts contract extension, the big news from Wednesday, in addition to the fact that we are now hours away from opening night, Major League Baseball 2020. On that note, pleased to welcome from the Bay Area, Joe Castellano, longtime friend, longtime sports broadcaster, now the host of the, I kid you not, the Sports Virus podcast. And it's dedicated to Bay Area sports, including the Giants. So Joe, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. As someone who covers the rival Giants, what's your reaction to Mookie Betts signing this massive extension without ever playing a game in Dodger Blue?
Wow, that is really great for Mookie. I mean, I was curious as to where he was going to go, but that's quite a commitment for the Dodgers. Especially when you consider the depth they have in the organization. I was a little surprised to see that they would make that kind of commitment to one player. It's definitely trouble for the Giants, because from the Giants' perspective, to see a guy like Mookie Betts, to know that he's going to be in a Dodgers uniform for a long time, I don't know that it'll still be productive at the end of that contract. And maybe it's not a great contract, but just to know that he's going to be a Dodger here for years to come is not good news in San Francisco.
We're getting ready to see opening night, and of course it does feature both the Giants and the Dodgers, that rivalry, their first game, their first series, which is pretty amazing. How much excitement in the Bay Area and with the Giants that they're finally about to get on the field?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement to watch these games because people have been just chomping at the bit to watch anything. I think if you looked at golf ratings, they're probably high because people are dying to watch sports. So people are really fired up to watch these games. I think the, you know, especially this first weekend of games, the ratings are going to be sky high. It's going to be a little strange because you think about broadcasters, like the Giants broadcasters are going to be in San Francisco doing the broadcast. They're
right.
Not going to be down in LA. So that's bizarre in itself. And I think people just have to get used to the fact that you'll be watching these games with no fans and the cardboard cutouts and all that stuff. But just to have the games back on, it definitely is uplifting, I think.
We'll talk a little bit about the play-by-play side of it because that's how you and I first met. But the big news around the Giants in the last couple of weeks is that you ended up seeing Buster Posey decide to opt out of the season because he and his wife have adopted twin baby girls who were born prematurely and need to be in the NICU and need special care. What was that ripple effect like for the organization for whom he's been really the star player along with Madison Bumgarner for so long?
I think it was pretty surprising because nobody knew about this. Nobody knew that Buster and his wife Kristen would be adopting baby girls. But I think it was understandable when you heard that story. And I think there was a lot of support for Buster Posey in the Bay Area. I mean, I don't know about around baseball, what fans thought of that. But here, I think it only improves his legacy and his standing with the team. I mean, I'm a little disappointed that I won't get to see him play this year because I was wondering how he would play. Last year was not a great year for Posey offensively. I mean, I think he still was kind of coming back from that hip injury, but I think we were wondering, you know, is he going to get more of his power back? And we'll have to find out next year. And the Giants are going to miss him a lot. It's not even so much the numbers he might put up offensively, but it's more the defense catching and the leadership and being able to know every pitcher on the staff. And he's so smart back there. So he's going to be missed a lot. But I think everybody from fans to his teammates to management, they all understand and respect his decision.
And they're also without guys like Brandon Belt and Evan Longoria. We've seen Hunter Pence miss a game here or two. What will be the strength of the Giants when they open up on Thursday night?
You know, I was thinking, Amy, that the strength would be that they'd have veteran players in a short season and they wouldn't maybe have so many injuries because it's shorter and all that. But like you just said, you've got players that are hurting and we didn't even get started yet. So that doesn't bode well for the Giants. I mean, look, they're going to be looking up at the Dodgers no matter how many games you play. And this schedule is not easy when you think about the fact that you've not only got to play the Dodgers and teams in the National League West, but you've got to play the Oakland A's. That's a team that people are saying maybe are going to go to the World Series. The Angels, they're an improved team. The Astros, we know how good they are. So those teams that are going to be playing against the Giants, I think they're going to have a struggle. You know, a lot of the players on their roster are the older guys that are kind of on the downslide. So unless they get, you know, great pitching performances and Johnny Cueto becomes the Johnny Cueto from a few years back and Samardzija, you know, could pitch like he did last year for the whole time, you know, for the couple of months here. Unless they get that and they get really lucky, I don't know that they're going to contend. A lot of people think they will be a surprise team, though, because they do have those veterans. And if they can stay healthy, those guys can sort of lead the way maybe for a surprising run.
Joe Castellano, longtime friend of mine from way back and is the host of the Sports Virus. I kid you not. The Sports Virus podcast that covers Giants, Niners, Warriors. So from the Bay Area with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So people know, where did the name Sports Virus come from, Joe?
Yeah, it's actually a funny story. So there was a graphics operator, I hope he's listening, a guy named Charlie Carlucci, who was a legendary graphics operator for CBS Sports on the NFL and on all the events, really. But my computer sent out a virus to a number of people, but
no!
it really messed up Charlie's computer, and this was a long time ago. I mean, this is like at least 20 years ago. And Charlie was really upset, and he had a nickname for everybody. So when I came into the TV truck, he said, hey, Joey, the virus. And it kind of stuck with everybody. I mean, even, you know, Greg Gumbel and Dan Dierdorf and people like that are calling me the virus, you know. So finally, you know, I had to come up with a website after I lost my gig with SiriusXM. And I was like, what do I call it? And, you know, some friends of mine said, why don't you call it the Sports Virus? So there we are. You know, and that now has been 10 years ago, and a lot of people these days, when they see the logo, they're like, oh, did you just try to capitalize on the virus? I'm like, no, I've had this for 10 years, and it's the antidote for the coronavirus.
Oh, my gosh, that's hysterical, but also I can imagine there are a lot of people accusing you of jumping on and trying to capitalize on what has been a pandemic this year.
Right. Amy, you should tell people how we got to know each other. So I was doing Rochester Red Wings games,
yes,
AAA baseball in Rochester, and you were the producer, board op back there in Rochester. And that was a lot of fun.
That was my first commercial radio gig. I did news updates overnight, but as you say, I also produced some AAA baseball, also some Buffalo Bills football. They were Buffalo Bills crazy in Rochester, New York. Literally my first career gig out of Syracuse, and that's where we met. And so I was introduced to you first as a play-by-play announcer, and that side of things really intrigues me now in the spring and the summer. So what would it be like? I mean, I know you've had some experience in Olympic broadcast being remote, but what would it be like? What is it like to do a game when you're not anywhere near where the action's actually happening?
It's challenging. I mean, that Olympics experience really was the first time that I did it, and it was 2008. It was for NBC, and we were in Stamford, Connecticut, and a number of us, Andrew Catalan, who's with CBS now, he was one of the people doing it. I think he was doing handball, and I was doing fencing, archery, and softball. And it was challenging because sometimes the director, it would be a world feed, so maybe it might be a director from China, he would take a shot of something, and you wouldn't even know where the ball was. So if a ball was hit down the left field line, he might just take a shot, like a tight shot of the player, and I'm like, I don't know if it's fair or foul. I'm just totally guessing. I'm going, oh, well, line drive down the left field line, foul ball. Like, I have no idea. I can't see it. So I learned a lot from that experience, but in more recent years, Amy, with Pac-12 Network, we're actually doing quite a few of those as well. And it's kind of been half and half for me, where half the time I might be out at Cal or at Stanford. The other half of the time I might be doing UCLA against Arizona in San Francisco in the studio and doing it off the monitor. And, you know, it just takes a while to get used to it. I think soccer, they have a monitor that's more of a tight shot, and that really helped when I did softball out of the studio. It was a little bit easier because they would have a monitor that you could see a wide shot of the bases, and you can kind of see where the players are going. So I think, yeah, it's a challenge. You have to get used to it. But I think all the broadcasters around the country now are kind of experiencing it and seeing what the future might be like.
What does it feel like to you when you watch these broadcasts with no fans in the stands but this pumped-in video game noise?
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of when I was in Rochester and we would play at Toledo in an April game where it's snowing and there are like three people in the stands and there's no crowd noise. And what I really wish I had, I'm thinking about it now, I sort of regret that I didn't figure out a way to pipe in audio of crowd noise like they're doing now, because that makes it sound so much better, Amy. Like, if I had that piped in behind me, it even though it's fake, it pumps everybody up. When it's dead and you're the announcer and there's nothing there and you're like outside ball one and then it's just dead air, you just feel compelled to keep talking and you're talking too much. And that's the thing. That's what it reminds me of, just being in Toledo. There were specific games there where it was just, there were no people in the stands. And so I think it is a good idea that they're going to pipe in the audio of the crowd.
Just to kind of fill the space is what you're saying?
Yeah, because I think every announcer needs to have a pace to him, especially in baseball. And you want to hear, you know, it's 3-2 now, and then the pause that's there, and you hear that buzz, and that just adds to the ambiance of it. And I think without it, it's just not a good listen.
What have you heard from athletes that you've talked to, whether current or former players, about how it's going to be without fans in the stands?
I think, you know, from what I've heard so far, they are a little bit disappointed about it because, I mean, just having the intensity level that you have when you come up to the plate. I heard Joe Panik talking about this, that, you come up to the plate and it kind of feels like a playoff atmosphere if you're in the pennant race, you know, and it's down the stretch. And now when you have no fans in the stands and you come up there, it's just not going to have that same feel. You're still going to be motivated for your team and everything, but you're going to have to create your own energy.
Mm. Joe Castellano is the host of The Sports Virus. I love it. It's so fitting. Who knew 10 years ago from the Bay Area? And he's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So I have two questions left. One is about the Giants. There's really no segue between these two. But the new manager with Gabe Kapler, totally different than Bruce Bochy. What have you been able to tell about his style in the Bay Area so far?
Well, I mean, it really is hard to step in for Bruce Bochy because,
sure.
I mean, yeah, he's a legend. I just loved the guy. I love the way he managed the Giants. And he had a good mix, I thought, of using some of the analytics but not always being completely married to it and obsessed with it. And he just knew how to manage people. Now, we'll see if Gabe Kapler is a good manager of people. That remains to be seen. One thing we do know is that he really does like the analytics, and it looks like he leaves no stone unturned from what we've heard so far. I'm sort of in between where I think you need to use the analytics, but I'm hoping that he's also a good manager of people because I think that's really important. Of course, he made big news earlier this week with, kneeling for the national anthem, and I think people in San Francisco really respect him for doing that. You also have a woman that's coaching at first base, and Alyssa Nacken, and, that's really good because, it's bringing about some change in baseball. So I think so far he's grading out well, but let's see how the Giants play. I think one of the things that's going to be difficult, some of these guys, like a Brandon Crawford, let's say, who's been, starting shortstop, playing every day, he may not play every day. He may not play against every left-handed pitcher because I think Kapler's going to want to look at the analytics and say, okay, well, I'm not always going to play my lefty against a lefty. And I think he's not afraid to ruffle some feathers, but in the long run, how does that work in the clubhouse? I think that all remains to be seen, and I'm fascinated to find out what will happen.
Well, you nailed that. No, Gabe Kapler is not afraid to ruffle feathers at all, ever. So that will definitely be a story. And something fascinating, too, is that he is one of 10 new managers in baseball. In a 60-game season, there are a third of the teams that are breaking in new managers, and some of them are brand new, as in have never managed before. So that's a huge story of this shortened 2020 season. Okay, Joe, as I say, there's absolutely no segue to this, but because of your experience with the Olympics, I also wanted to ask, what type of a, magnitude is this when you move an Olympic Games, cancel, and now we're hearing that potentially Japan doesn't want the Olympics there next year, but just in the context that we have right now, what's it mean to move these games a full year for the athletes that train so hard?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be really difficult because they work so hard for the 4 years in between. They look so much forward to it. I mean, this is their time to shine. And to shut it down, basically, I mean, maybe not shutting it down all the way, but to not have the same intensity in training now, and then you got to pick it back up again, I think that's going to be difficult for a lot of the athletes. I definitely think everybody missed having the Olympics.
Right.
It's really too bad, but there's no way you could do it, Amy, not with the way things are right now. And I'm going to be interested to see, how that would work next year, and even with the broadcast, because as we already talked about, there already were broadcasts that were being done in the studio. You wonder how many more of those will be done when you get to next year, and how will all the broadcasters react to it as well?
Yeah, it's just one of those questions that we don't have answers for, which seems to be par for the course in 2020. You can find Joe on Twitter at The Sports Virus. It's so legit. You have to go check it out. From the Bay Area, longtime friend of mine. Joe, it's great to have you on the show again. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, thanks a lot. Always a pleasure, and it's always great hearing your voice because it brings me back to those days that we talked about, and I appreciate it. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Joe Castellano used to allow me to sit in his broadcast booth doing games for the Rochester Red Wings. It was my first experience ever in a professional play-by-play setting, and he was so kind, and he would allow me to stand behind him or to sit in the booth with him just to watch and listen and observe, and he was great. And so we have kept in touch for years and years, and I remember hearing him at different times covering Olympic Games, and he actually, when I was texting with him about getting him on the show, I said to him, "Do you mind if I ask you about your Olympic experience?" And he said, "Yes." And he sent me this text, which I told him that I was going to read after the fact. He did 2008 Olympic softball off the monitors in Stamford, Connecticut, like he mentioned. He called the baseball gold medal game in Sydney in 2000 on a cell phone because executives didn't think it would be a big story and didn't set up wires at the stadium. So he used a cell phone to call a gold medal game in Sydney at the Olympics in 2000. And so we've obviously come a long way when we're talking about broadcasting, specifically the Olympics, and how much money they make now. But the challenges are that if you're going to limit the number of people who are at various sporting events, well, then the broadcasters become expendable. Of course, They're not considered essential employees in most cases. Now, national broadcasters, many of them are making their way to the bubble in Orlando, but not all of them, and certainly not a lot of the team broadcasters, because they can only have, what is it, 25 people per team in the NBA in this this initial few weeks being inside the bubble. So great stuff with Joe. He's always so enthusiastic. He's been that way ever since I met him, and well-versed in broadcasting pretty much any sport. He told me once that he's been asked to do a lot of games at the Olympics that he had no experience with, and yet he never turned down an opportunity. And because of that, he would get thrown these crazy chances in these sports that he knew nothing about, and yet they would turn into these amazing events, these amazing moments in history. And his was the voice that was calling the action on the radio. So, yeah, the sports virus. He told you the story. It's 10 years old. What song would you use right now to appropriately describe how you feel about sports? What song captures your emotions when you're thinking about sports? I've got one. We're going to come back with it so you can hear it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Sometimes people ask me my favorite song ever. It's a really difficult question, right? But we field that question every now and then on Ask Amy Anything. And there are a lot of songs I come up with. This is definitely in my top five of songs all time. Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone, the iconic theme music from Top Gun. But in addition, just it's one of my songs that I use to get me pumped up. Funny story before we talk about why it applies on this show. When I was working in my previous network, I used to pump in this music over the speakers in the studio where I was preparing. And especially when I was working late nights, or let's say I had a quick turnaround and I was kind of jumping around and doing different day parts, this is the song that I would use to get me pumped up. And I would, I'm telling you, blast it in our soundproof studios through the big speakers. What I didn't realize, this was a tough lesson. It was one of those life lessons that you never forget. The producer could actually turn on my microphone and record me, even if I didn't turn on my microphone and record me. And furthermore, he could turn on my microphone and I wouldn't even know it. And so the guys that I worked with, they would watch me get all like fill of adrenaline as I was getting ready for a show and pump myself up with Danger Zone. And one night, they recorded me singing at the top of my lungs. Now, I was being a total goof. I wasn't singing on key. I actually can sing on key every now and then. And they turned around and used that on the air, caught me completely unawares. And I've never lived that down. I still hear from them every now and then about this trick and this prank they pulled on me. But yes, it taught me, even when the mic is off, you can still be recorded and heard in the control room. So be careful what you say and what you sing. But in fact, I have the CD of it somewhere. They gave it to me on a CD as a token when I departed. So Danger Zone is one of my favorite songs of all time. And I think it, tongue-in-cheek, applies to what we're doing here with sports. Do I really feel like these leagues and these teams, these athletes are flying into a danger zone? No, but I do know that the risk and living on the edge is part of what gives them the adrenaline. They operate well in high-risk situations. They operate well under pressure. Otherwise, they would not be at the highest level of their particular sport. But of course, you have the other side of it, too, that there is some danger of playing a contact sport in the midst of a pandemic. And they all know that, and they've chosen to make that choice with their eyes wide open. So multiple layers there, but Danger Zone is one of the songs that appropriately describes how I feel about sports returning, including that surge of adrenaline, even as I talk about it now in the hours before baseball returns. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What songs capture your emotions as we get set for baseball's opening night? In addition, we had the first NBA scrimmages from the bubble in Orlando on Thursday. Wednesday. my days blend together when I'm doing half the week being awake during the daytime, half the week being awake at nighttime. So now I'm all confused. Please forgive me. But on Wednesday, we had the first four NBA scrimmages. And so we've got sports in addition to golf and UFC and NASCAR and Indy racing. And of course, seeing soccer, both men's and women's. These are the big four. And we've got NFL training camps that are welcoming the rookies and the first year guys. And they're doing it with the testing, getting set to welcome their veterans in the next few days. I mean, it's all happening. It's a lot of emotions. We've waited a long time for this. So what song describes how you feel about sports right now in late July 2020? On Twitter, Mark says The Waiting by Tom Petty. Yeah, you think? for sure. Let's see. What else can I find? Martin on Twitter says Welcome Back by John Sebastian. Isn't that the one that, that's the one that Bob Uecker referenced. So Martin, you're the second person to introduce us to this or to remind us of the Welcome Back Cotter song. I love this song that Nick suggests on Twitter. The Boys Are Back in Town. That is a great song, really catchy. So Nick, that's a good one. That's the way that he feels, The Boys Are Back in Town. And I love this suggestion as well by Tammy Joe. She says, let's hear it for the boy. That's Denise Williams. Or Jump by Van Halen, which is a song that I use on my running rotation, my half marathon rotation. Let's see. William on Twitter, Run by Collective Soul. Amy, Run by Collective Soul. How about you finish one sentence before you start reading another one? He says, it starts out, are these times contagious? I've never been this bored before. I don't know that song, but that's funny. I do know this one, though. Paul on Twitter, Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. Oh, that one is very appropriate. Very appropriate. And then Ken says, I Walk the Line by Johnny Cash. Man, we're getting songs from pretty much every genre. Michael on Twitter, Thunderstruck, AC/DC. He says, I can't wait for sports to open up again. And then Gary on Twitter, Cheap Seats by Alabama. So what is the song that captures how you feel about sports right now in this moment? We'll take more of your submissions on social media.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Got a question for you, better answer now.
So good. Dave knows me well, or maybe Dave himself is a Backstreet Boys boy band fan. Is this what you're trying to tell me, Dave? It's not just about the host, it's also about you and your preferences?
I mean, I might like boy bands. I did grow up in the early 90s, mid-90s.
You know the 90s are back.
They are. I do like that. Backstreet Boys and NSYNC equally, though, so I'm not going to walk that line.
All right, that's fine. So do you have a song? Is that your song, the one that you've chosen, or do you have another one in reserve?
So the lyrics, I guess, to the song that I think of is doesn't really, you know, work like that, but it's just something that reminds me of baseball as a Yankee fan is Enter Sandman. And every time Mariano yes. Rivera would step onto the field, I just knew, you know, greatness was coming onto the field. And for me, obviously, I was spoiled in the 90s as well, watching the Yankees win. So that song just for me reminds me of baseball summer and you know, heading into October. So just gets me excited for watching the Yankees too tomorrow. So I'm glad they get to play on opening night.
Garrett Cole, we finally get to see him in the pinstripes. And of course, like Mookie Betts, Garrett Cole says this is a dream come true. So we want to know from you, what song, whatever genre it is, and we've definitely gotten answers from a bunch of different types of music, old school, new school, schools that I've never heard of before. It's fine. It doesn't have to be even pop music. It can be anything. What song captures your emotions now as baseball is hours away from its 2020 opening night, as the NBA has hit the court again for its initial scrimmages? And have you noticed it? If you watched any of the broadcasts, you could see very clearly the NBA restart That's the word that they're using. Restart is all over the arena in view of the TV cameras. Restart. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And I'll get back to some of your answers. I like this one from Anthony, though, on Twitter. Living on the Edge by Aerosmith. Certainly know that song. And right away started singing it when I read his tweet. Speaking of living on the edge, okay, maybe it doesn't describe my decision that perfectly, but I'm torn. I was asked to participate in fantasy football this fall, and I don't know how I feel about it. Now, I get it. To some of you, $50 is not that big of a deal, and you'd be willing to hand over the $50 and lose it if it turns out that football is a total crapshoot. I think football could be a total crapshoot. Even if we end up getting the 16-game regular season slate, I do believe if there's a league out there that can make this foray through the virus, it's going to be the NFL. I do believe in the NFL. What I don't believe is that we're going to have a beautiful season. I believe it could be uglier than usual. I believe it will take, I think, probably 6 weeks for them, some of these teams, to find a rhythm and a groove, considering that there will be no preseason games. I don't know what the product is going to look like on the field. I do know that people are going to be complaining about the NFL officials. Why? Well, because they are not going to step on a field until week number one either. Now, you know, they use the preseason as their opportunity to warm up, of course, but they also usually make trips to training camp, and they will sit down with players and they'll explain new rules to them as well as to the coaches. They'll work on their own timing, their own communication. I mean, these are teams as well. They're smaller teams, but if you know anything about NFL officiating, you know these teams are put together and they work together all year long. If you as a referee, you know, or assigned your schedule the start of a week, well, you know who you're working with because these teams are put together and they stay together. And so the officials will not be able to get in their usual work during the preseason because there won't be any preseason games and they're not going to be making any trips to camp, which means the officials themselves will be warming up in week number one as well. And I know that makes them easy targets, and it's going to be open season on officials. When is it not? But my point is that the quality could be way down, at least to start. I don't care. There's no complaining. We are going to take what we take, and we're going to love it. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. That's what's going to happen. So we're not going to complain. That is a new house rule. We're going to be so thrilled the NFL has returned, we're not going to complain. However, back to my $50. That's what it takes to enter this fantasy football league. And considering that it could be a total crapshoot, I don't really know if I want to donate my $50 and not get it back. Are you guys participating in fantasy football? If you are, isn't there some type of trepidation about it? We have no idea what this is going to look like. It could be terrible. The offense could be hideous. I suppose if you get a good defense, you might be in luck. Yeah, I don't even know what to, I don't even know where to go in terms of what this season could look like. Just that it's going to be wild and wacky, and potentially we're going to want to complain about it. Not allowed to call my show and do it. But I don't know if I think it's worth investing the $50 in doing fantasy football. Again, I know for most of you, $50 is no big thing, but that's a lot of groceries right there. It's two tanks of gas, actually, right now. And I just bought a house, which means the funds are limited. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Let's talk to Eli, who's in California. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Amy?
Good, thank you.
I'm just, I'm excited that the baseball is back, you know, but I'm a Dodger fan, but I'm worried about if the Dodgers taking and everything, like, how our fans, you know, like, baseball enthusiasts like me are going to take it if they win the championship, you know? Like, I'm not sure if it's going to be, like, something that, you know, like, in 20 years, we're going to hold up and we're going to say, oh, we won this, you know?
I understand. It's different. And you wonder, is it fair that they can celebrate a championship after 60 games?
I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's not fair, but it wasn't fair for the Astros and the Red Sox to cheat, too, in the two World Series that the Dodgers were in, too, also, So it's kind of like, if the Dodgers win, maybe they won fair and square, but people are gonna hold that against them, and they was a shortened season and everything. But we all know that the Dodgers have the World Series, those last two World Series against the Red Sox and the Astros. They had it on lock. They lost it in the seventh game.
Not against the Red Sox. Hold on, Eli. Not against the Red Sox. That was a much more, I wouldn't say it was one-sided, but that was not a series that the Dodgers, I thought, were going to win, they had a chance to win because they were in the series, but you know what I mean. The Red Sox dominated that season and dominated those playoffs. And just to clarify, they were not... they were not accused of cheating in the postseason in the World Series. As for the Astros series, I agree with you. That one sucks. That's the one that stings because it was Game 7. There was so many close games in that series. So I'd agree with you there. There's no way to ever feel better about that. But I don't think that if the Dodgers end up winning in 2020, people are going to point to them and say it's not legit, and have it be specific to the Dodgers. Because everyone's on the same playing field. Everyone's in the same boat. It's not as though the Dodgers have an advantage. And they only had to play 60 games, but everybody else had to play 162. No, I mean, everybody's starting out at the same place. It's not their fault that there was a pandemic. It's not their fault that it took this long. So, yeah, people may look at it with an asterisk, but it's not going to be specific to the Dodgers or whatever team wins. It's just going to be by virtue of what's happening in our society.
Yeah, you have a point there, but at the end of the day, it's like, I feel like the Dodgers are gonna take these 60 games like easily, That's just me speaking, right? But I feel like at the end of the day, people that have the record books and they set the record books, they're not gonna look at this Dodgers team like dominant teams, but. Years past, we were dominant, but now we know why, we didn't win those past two.
No. Again, the Red Sox were not accused of cheating in 18, and the Red Sox were by far the better team. I would agree with you about 17. We don't know how that might have been different or how that might have changed, but there's no way to go back and do it now. And I will also guarantee this, Eli. I don't know what happens in 2020, but if the Dodgers end up winning the World Series, they aren't going to give two big feet what anyone else says about if they won the title fair and square and if it was legitimate. They're not going to care even a little bit. A World Series win is a World Series win. It will go down in the books as a World Series title. It would be their first since 1988. Every team would be on the same footing, and the Dodgers aren't going to give two shakes who thinks that their rings aren't for real. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Mike, who's in San Francisco. Mike, you got about 90 seconds. Go.
All right. Well, first I'll give you a suggestion if you like your intro, the newer version of American Woman instead of the Guess Who version and Danger Zone. I think Janis Joplin and Ain't Gonna Eat Out My Heart Anymore is going to be a very attractive song for how we want to get back to sports.
I just like the title. I don't know the song, but I like the title.
Yeah, it's Big Brother and the Holding Company, but you know Janis Joplin, I'm sure.
I have heard that name, yes.
Yes, anyway. On the sports, I like the baseball and basketball and hockey to at least have a 80% chance maybe of crowning a champion.
Okay.
I don't think either football league is likely to, but it's possible. I would say my over-under is about 8 regular season games for both NFL and college, whether they crown a champion in some quirky season like you were talking about before, where they have unexpected weeks off. I just think they're going to have too many people going in and out of the stadiums. I don't think it's the game itself that's going to cause the problem. It's the off hours that I think is going to cause virus to spread in the football seasons.
Yeah, well, it certainly is up to them to bear the responsibility. I would agree with you, and it's the same with Major League Baseball, Mike, but I find my encouragement there. The fact is, baseball's numbers are extremely low, even though these guys are not in a bubble. They're not sequestered. They're not quarantined. It's up to them to take responsibility, and they're doing it. If they can do it, and they've got, you know, a lot of people, we're talking about, you know, 3,000-plus, I feel like football can do it, too. But again, it's going to be up to the responsibility, the leadership in those locker rooms, the coaching staffs, to really impress upon them that a few cases could result in them forfeiting at least a game, if not more than that, and that will be on them. The NFL is not going to shut down the entire league because one or two teams has an outbreak or a mini outbreak like what happened with MLS. They'll pull those teams and they'll forfeit those games, and then it's their own fault. Mike, I appreciate your phone call in San Francisco. Thank you. I hope that you are incorrect. You know how I feel about predictions. And certainly in 2020, all predictions are just guesses. Let's see. We are asking you the song that appropriately captures your emotions about sports right now. The morning of July 23rd, very early morning, 2020.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.